Welcome to the Design for Living Big Book OA Intergroup. My name is Nicola and I am a compulsive eater and your meeting leader today. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation followed by the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my recovery, my spiritual path, and you for an open mind and a new experience with myself, my recovery, my spiritual path, and especially you. Now, we start this meeting by remembering our common purpose to extend the heart and hand of the OA Fellowship to those who still suffer. Let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you're welcome to this meeting. So at this meeting, we have a greeter who has a welcome pack ready to send to anyone who is interested. It includes useful program links, a PDF copy of the Big Book, and podcasts on steps 1, 2, and 3. If you would like to receive this welcome pack, please connect with our greeter in the chat. For those on the telephone, the welcome pack is also available on our website, www.ad4l.info. Our topic today is willingness. We will read a section of the Big Book, hear from our speakers, and move into an informal guided discussion. The guided discussion is a space for any questions you may have on what you have heard here today or about Overeaters Anonymous. Could Julianne please unmute and read the paragraph on page 76? It's the first paragraph.
Thanks, Nicola. Hi, everyone. I'm Julianne. I'm a compulsive overeater. Page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing.
Thank you. So I would now like to introduce our first speaker, Donnelly, to the group. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Donnelly. I'm a compulsive eater, food, sugar addict, and really grateful to be here and grateful for everyone that is behind the scenes making this meeting happen and here making the meeting happen by showing up. Just grateful for everyone and a little bit anxious about being here. And yet I am so grateful to be here. I liked the end where it says, just ask to be willing, to be willing. But I thought that I wanted to start way back at the very beginning with willingness, because honestly, this, since it's the Big Book and I'm going to read from it, I'll read it as it's written, but I want people here, and what I needed to do was to translate it to food for myself. This is what made me willing. Here are some of the methods we have tried. Drinking beer only, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, drinking only at home, never having it in the house, never drinking during business hours, drinking only at parties, switching from scotch to brandy, drinking only natural wines, agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job, taking a trip, not taking a trip, swearing off forever, with and without a solemn oath, taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to health farms and sanitariums, accepting voluntary commitment to asylums. We could increase the list ad infinitum. That is what made me willing to come to the doors of OA, having been, having gone to a medical appointment, seeing an ad for a medical intervention, I guess you would call it, or something, for weight loss. My initial problem, although I knew I couldn't stop eating, it was the weight that was the probably a bigger motivator, especially for those around me. And they said they couldn't help me. And it was shortly after that that I landed at an OA meeting. So my guess is they suggested OA or some other means my higher power used to get me to an OA meeting. And at that meeting, I heard that it was possible that I was abstinent then, didn't know what abstinent was, but this person came over to me and she said, "You're abstinent right now." And I'm like, "I am." And she's like, "Yes, yes, you've just been at a meeting and you're abstinent." I said, "Okay, I'm abstinent." Didn't know what it was, but she said, "Just don't have anything more to eat tonight and I'll talk to you in the morning." So that was how it all started for me. It hasn't been a straight line path since then, but that was the beginning of understanding that there was a solution and that if I were willing, there was the ability to have what these people were standing up in front of the meeting and talking about. And I knew that it was what I wanted because I was hopeless. By then I was buying things, throwing them away, and then going out and buying it again because I didn't want it, but I couldn't not eat it at the same time. And I just knew how hopeless that was around food. Willingness kind of has a thread through all of the steps for me, because step one, having tried everything else, step two, where two and three, hope and faith. So listening to people at the meeting gave me, and that continuing to go to meetings gave me hope and faith, a willingness to keep going because I had a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith. Faith that they were telling the truth, I guess, because they seemed to have something that I wanted and that I didn't have. So that's where the willingness for two and three came. Then the willingness for courage for four. I think by that point, I was really starting to have a sense that it was possible, that this was something different than all of the similar things I had tried to that paragraph I read. There was something different here, something that made me willing, it bothers me, willing to go to any lengths, but I did. Back in those days, I drove around the state of Massachusetts. We went to meetings and we did service like kind of all over the state. It was just so different than the rooms of Zoom of today. And this woman who was my first like real step sponsor just was there to listen to me. It was unbelievable to me that I had an opportunity to tell my story with all of the parts that no one had ever listened to my whole story in that way, or cared enough to hear what it was that I had to say, or at least that's what I thought at the time. I was just really grateful. And the community gave me willingness to keep going, and then willing for the integrity of saying it out loud. And then willingness for the character defects. Well, this is where it got interesting for me, because I was listening about step six and it was like, well, who wouldn't be willing? This seemed like a piece of cake. Of course I wanted to get rid of my character defects. They didn't sound very good. That sounded like something that I definitely didn't want to have in my life. And then, lo and behold, I'm sitting in the car and I'm really pissed at my husband, really pissed. He's been gone 14 years now, but I can look back and remember this. I was really mad. And I remember thinking to myself, I just said I was willing to let go of all these defects of character. I'm not sure I really want to do that right now. And it was just such a light bulb moment that this willingness to let go, entirely ready to let go, was not going to be as easy as I thought it was. Piece of cake. Maybe shouldn't use that kind of a pun, analogy, but it just hit me that this was not going to be so easy to do. That thankfully, a little sneak peek into seven, that it's really a God that I can ask to help me to remove these defects of character, because left to my own devices, it's similar to the food. I would be back where I was with my old patterns and my old characteristics. But I was willing to look at them and to see them and to accept them. And that's really where willingness came for me. And then I looked up a definition and I said, for 1930s willingness, and it talked about cheerfully doing things without reluctance, doing things easily. Well, that's not my experience with the steps. I just have to be willing to do it. I can be haltingly, I can be reluctantly, I can be dragging my feet, but at the end of the day, I just have to do it. And I like the quote that I've heard, willingness without action is fantasy. That just kind of hits the nail over the head for me, that this willingness thing is, I just have to do it. And if I'm not ready to do it, I just have to ask for the willingness to be willing. And that can be infinite. You know, the willingness to be willing, to be willing, to be willing. That's really where it comes down for me. And the other important thing about willingness, I think, is how the whole program is based on honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, which is showing up. They say 90% of it is showing up. And if I keep showing up, I keep hearing the things I need to hear. And that brings me to a place of willingness and listening to other people who have gone before me and how they were able to do things. And their willingness gives me the courage to do it as well. That's actually a big part of the program for me, is to follow in the footsteps and to listen, willing to be teachable, to not think I know what's the best way, because I do have to take responsibility for myself and my actions. And at the end of the day, I am the one that needs to be comfortable with it. But left to my own devices, I don't always come up straight away with the best answer. So I ask for guidance and then I take it into prayer and contemplation, and then I need to be willing to take the action if that's the action that needs to be taken. I think the important thing also is prayer. Okay, thank you. I think the important thing is for the prayer. I know we talk a lot about a seven-step prayer, and I've worked really hard on that, but really the prayer starts with the sixth step. It really starts with asking God for the willingness to let go of those parts of my personality, those old patterns and characteristics that really don't serve me anymore, and to take the next steps, to kind of just be willing to let them go and to try something new and to try something different and to live a life in accordance, a willingness to live a life as to the best of my ability in accordance with the steps that this program has to offer. And I think that's what I got. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Donnelly. I would now like to welcome our second speaker, Abigail, to the group. Good morning or afternoon, Abigail.
Okay, let me start my timer. So keep me honest. Okay, I'm Abigail. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I have thought I would, I really appreciate it, Donnelly. Thank you very much. There's so much that you said that really resonates with me. And I find is true of my experience with the program and willingness as well. I thought I would integrate the topic of willingness into my story. I can say very briefly that willingness for me comes from pain and suffering. And eventually, it's pain and suffering, but also surrounding myself with healthy spiritual options, like being in a 12-step program, so that pain and suffering without the 12 steps, without going to meetings, without being or having a sponsor, without, you know, reading the literature, would leave me just with pain and suffering. But pain and suffering plus being surrounded by people and literature telling me about other options, that was a successful combination. So I'm going to have someone share the some pictures. Just those first two, we'll stop right there for a moment, and then I can go back. Those are me as a very young child. You can see as a compulsive overeater right from the get-go. I'm the one with the ice cream cone. My sister and my mother are having a real human experience. The other picture is me. I remember very distinctly that night feeling very, very fat before I went to that party, and I wasn't. So, and that, thank you very much. We can stop sharing. The obsession with my weight and food, where I think we're sort of born together. They were not separable. So just in summary, I was compulsive overeater right from the get-go. I ate all the time. There was a lock on the freezer in the basement of my house that was there to keep me from eating food. But of course, I learned to pick that lock. And I would go in and I would eat what my mother would bake goods and then freeze them to use later on. And I would eat one of the whatever's the foods, and I'd rearrange the box. And then I'd be drawn back to it, and I'd eat another one, and I'd rearrange the box. And then I'd come back and eat a bunch more and rearrange the box. And eventually I couldn't rearrange the box anymore, so I just eat all of them. And then a couple months later, my mother would go to get the thing and be very upset and angry with me with a lot of shame. You know, why do you do this? Blah, blah, blah. And of course, I can't explain why I do this. It's an obsession. It's an irrational obsession. I've eaten food out of garbage cans. I used to clean off the dining room table and go into the kitchen, which was a separate room, and eat the food off of people's plates. I've stolen food. When I finally graduated from college and I was living on my own away from my mother, who was the source of all my problems, right? I was just in the grips of it. I would go to work and I'd eat my food, and I'd leave work and buy more food and come back. And then I'd go to leave work and steal food from the grocery store because I didn't want them to see how much food I was eating. And I'd go back and I'd come home and I'd eat my dinner, and I'd go out and buy more food and eat it, and maybe go back out and get more food, and then start that all over the next day. So I was in an enormous amount of compulsive overeating pain. And I didn't know anything about the 12-step programs. And I met a woman in the large size clothing department in the department store. And we ended up chatting and we got together and became friends. And she was a member of OA, which I had not known anything about. And I went to meetings and I was extremely willing because I was in so much pain. And I got a sponsor right away and I stopped eating dessert sugars. And I tried to work the steps. And I would call that sponsor every morning and we'd talk about, all the, she was a wonderful person. She's still actually in my life today. She's not my sponsor, but, that was 36, 38 years ago. And I lost a lot of weight, not eating dessert sugars. And I started to work the steps and I got stuck on step four and I couldn't work it. And people say if you have trouble with a step, you really need to go to the one before it and work that. And I just didn't understand. I couldn't. I mean, you could say it was a lack of willingness. You could let say it was a lack of comprehension. I don't know. I moved to go to graduate school, and I believe what happened is without the food, I didn't have my kind of without the sugar, I didn't have my medication, and my depression just roared to life, and I spiraled into just a really bad depression, and I was living in a smaller town. I asked everybody in that town to sponsor me, and I fired them or they fired me. And eventually, there was only one person left. I didn't like her. I never learned to like her. She was not somebody I was drawn to. She worked a very strong Al-Anon program as well. She was very strict with me. Like, I'd try to complain and tell her about all my problems and what everyone was doing me wrong. And she'd be like, well, let's just talk about the steps. Let's just talk about the steps. And, again, there was a high degree of willingness because of that pain, but also because I was going to meetings practically every day because I needed desperately something. I knew that, but I couldn't do it. And so I ended up working the steps with her, and it was an immensely cathartic experience to do that. And what I learned is that many of the things that I had thought were my character defects were just who I was. I was a very social person, I was very extroverted. I was very much like my mother and not like my father, who I wanted it to be the other way around, who's a very introverted, intellectual kind of guy. And those weren't character defects. Those are just who I was. But there were all these other things that I had been in denial about that were genuinely character defects. My over-responsibility, my over-commitment, my holding on to grudges and resentments. I mean, there's a lot of things, being a liar, a cheat, and a thief around food. It turned my focus to a completely different set of things that needed to be changed, not the things I had thought were my problems. And I ended up working the steps for many years. I mean, I've been in program 36, 38 years, so it's a long time. And I got stuck on step 11. I am an atheist, and step 11, of course, is very challenging for an atheist. And Steph, if you don't mind sharing the last two pictures, I'll show them. You can see that what happened was is that I had the one picture is at my top weight, and then the other picture is me after being in program number of years. I don't really have that tattoo. That was a at a party they did that, put it on there. And thank you very much. You can stop that now. And I was still had some weight on me. And when I went to do step 11, I went to an outside class to learn about meditation. And in the process of doing that, it really changed my spiritual willingness. And one thing I noticed as I became willing to weigh and measure my food, which I had not been willing to do before. And one of the things that showed me was I'd weigh and measure my nuts, and then I'd eat a whole bunch more, or chips, or something like that. And of course, that's compulsive overeating. And so it wasn't just dessert sugars. I had to add and be willing to add things to my abstinence list. And of course, I lost a whole bunch more weight and I had a whole lot more openness to step work. And at this point, I also became willing. I never liked the Big Book. I had never liked the Big Book. I thought it was poorly written, sexist, the whole lot of things. None of those things are changed. Those are all still true in my personal opinion, no offense. But I started listening to Lori, who does the Big Book workshops. And I really, for the first time, understood the doctor's opinion and what they were saying, which was one, that there was a physical phenomenon of craving, that certain foods for me, like the alcohol, the alcoholic induced a craving. And for the alcoholic, the answer was to not drink that alcohol, not get the craving. And for me, it was to not eat those foods or do that behavior. And that would be it if that was only my problem. But there was a second problem, which is the sign of a true addict, is that I had an obsession of the mind, which is my mind would go back to thinking and thinking and thinking about it until I would eat it. And then I'd have the craving and then it would be away into this horrible cycle. And so the solution to the craving is abstinence from those foods or behaviors. The solution to the obsession of the mind is the steps to induce a spiritual awakening, to change my brain, to rewire it so I no longer have that obsession. And I became willing to work the steps in a very different way, primarily how I wrote and did step four. And as a process of that, I was made aware of character defects that I had really not seen before in a way I hadn't seen them before. And we don't have enough time to go into that, but it was quite a change, sort of a, not 180, but maybe like a 45 to 50 degree, 60 degree change in my direction of my step work. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is that I've been in program a long time, and willingness is a continually growing phenomenon. It is not a one and done. And the pain is what gives me willingness, sometimes boredom, but usually pain. But what the steps and the program and hanging around with you and having a sponsor and using the tools, what they do is they lower my pain threshold. So it doesn't take as much pain for me to be willing to make a change. And I'll say finally, with my last thing is most recently, I'm older and my body doesn't need as much food. And I put on some weight, and I have to be willing to change what I'm eating. And I am. So I have an appointment with a nutritionist in a week or so. I've been keeping track of my food. I'm willing to get advice on whatever she thinks I need to do to be at a healthy body weight. I'm not compulsively overeating, but for true health, I need to maintain a healthy body weight. And at this point, I have to be willing to do what a compulsive overeater hates. Is somebody else tinker with my food and give me food advice. And so speaking of advice, I will finish up by giving a couple pieces of advice. You may not have asked, but I'm going to take advantage of this. And one of them is abstinence should be a black and white definition. It should be easy to decide at the end of the day whether I met my definition or not, whatever it is for you. And at the end of that day, if I've had problems, then I can reevaluate and change my definition for tomorrow. Because abstinence does change over my lifetime. I have had to make changes. For one thing, I'm more sensitive to sweetness than I used to be. Sugar doesn't even look like food to me anymore. But now certain things are just too sweet, like a fig is too sweet for me to eat. I just can't eat them. It's a, you know, perfectly healthy piece of fruit, but no. So clear black and white definition, redefine. Two, get a sponsor and work the steps. And if that sponsor doesn't work, find a different sponsor. And if you need more than one sponsor, get more than one sponsor. And three, do some service, help out the fellowship. We need it to be around so that we survive. It's a total selfish survival mechanism. Make sure this thing is here for me tomorrow, because I'm going to have trouble tomorrow for sure. And also, it helps break the self-absorption that is a key part of being an addict. So thank you very much. And I look forward to hearing from our next speaker, and appreciate you all showing up. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Abigail. I would like to now welcome our last speaker, Steph. Thanks, Steph.
Thank you so much, Nicola. And thank you all for making that meeting possible here today. Hi, my name is Steph. I'm an anorexic and a compulsive restrictor and grateful to be here. I'm just saying it right now. I'm a little bit nervous. My hands are a bit shaky and I just try to go slow because I had some notes and yes, we will see. I appreciate what was shared here already. Thank you so much for sharing your journey from my recovery and that display of willingness to show up. And yeah, I love the big book. I came into OA in 2017. I'm almost 9 years in program right now, and I was always willing. Willingness was always something that stuck with me that I had from the early days on. But there was a transformation in that principle of willingness for me coming and then working my steps in OA. So coming in to OA and then working my steps in OA. Willingness is, as it says in the big book, indispensable. And there is another thing I like about it. It's like willingness without action is fantasy. I like definitions. I like dictionaries. So I looked up the word willing because it is not in the dictionary from 1939, Webster's, in the word willingness, but there is willing. And it says there by 1939 Webster's dictionary, an inclined or favorable disposed in mind, ready to act, prompt to do, to give, or to grant, not slow, lazy, or reluctant. And it also says of or pertaining to the will or power of choosing. It's written with small letters in the dictionary. I wrote it down for myself today in capital letters, the will and the power, because this was a transformation for me in the steps. I, as I said, was always willing. I was willful. I was in self-will. When I wanted something, I worked hard to get it. I was a gymnast. A competitive gymnast for many, 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 many years. And I was willing to overexercise my body to go to the next level. I had open hands, I had bruises, I had some mild stress fractures, and I was willing to exhaust myself. And I was also willing to go above and beyond to achieve that. My food addiction started in my teenage years, actually, in the way of the restricting. Because somebody at one of those competitions told me it's all flabbing around. I was never overweight. But somebody commented on my body in that gymnast hall, in that on that competition floor. And that was one part that stuck with me. So I was willing to reduce the food and to stay on that diet, to stick to that. I was willing to do the same thing as I went into my college years, because I worked in a profession where the outside body was something you have to present. Don't get me wrong, I was all dressed, but I was a dance teacher. We were expected to look a certain way. And again, there was that commenting that I may not suit that job because my body does not look like the other person's body. Again, I was still not overweight. But I was willing to give in to that voice and handing over that power to somebody else to go further with the restriction, to live on an apple a day. To give power to somebody else who actually does not have any power. There is a beautiful thing about the willingness, as it is a spiritual principle of step six. It speaks about a transformation and a shift from the stubborn and self-centered will, that kind of ferocious holding on to things. As I came to the program, I was willing because I was desperate, I was highly depressed, I was suicidal, and I just wanted to stop. I was willing to let all that negative thinking, that hatred about myself go. And my first sponsor, I met her in Rhode Island in Cranston. I'm currently based in Germany, so that was me. I was willing to go to a trip to the United States and book the entire trip around OA meetings because here in Germany, we don't have OA as much. I haven't been to the States before. I haven't been to Michigan, I haven't been to Rhode Island before, to Maine, to New Hampshire, to Massachusetts. I've never been, but I was willing because I was desperate. And my first sponsor, or she still is my sponsor, she said to me, "We have to be entirely willing." I can tell you, I was not. I was willing because I wanted to get rid of the food, but I didn't want it to get rid of the control, the ideas I had about my body, what should I look like? That ferocious holding on to my ideas about what should I look like kept me in control about the food. I was not willing to accept a food plan. And that kept me stuck, even though that I said I was working the program. Another 3 years actually in disease. I was willing to hand over my food plan in the evening to write down what I ate. I was willing to make an attempt of living healthily. But really willing to commit to the higher power of my understanding and working the steps 1, 2, and 3 to say, I am now willing, it picks it up in step 7 again, that you should have all of me, good and bad. I was not ready. I needed to become desperate again to go to the entire length. So in 2020, I found another sponsor and I accepted her food plan. And they know from each other. They're both still my sponsors today. They're both part of my recovery journey today. And that was the willingness to let it go entirely. And that actually is part of this first big transformation I had again. Because with holding on to my self-will until that point, I was struggling with my step 4. I was struggling to look at the resentments in the way that I was still resentful at myself without even knowing and naming it. I was just not willing to address the wrongs I am doing there in holding on to that food plan, for example. In the big book, there are a couple of sequences, and it's about 11 parts or sections where it picks up the word willingness. And one of them is actually in the early pages of the big book. It's on page 13 if you have your big book around. In Bill's story, and I'm just going to pick it up for a moment. The idea continues throughout the book. It's getting picked up in the appendix 2, this spiritual experience. And it is basically Bill's story here, as the chapter just says, naming his friend. It's at the bottom of the page. My friend promised when these things were done, I would enter up upon a new relationship with my creator. That I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems. Believe in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. It got rephrased in the appendix too. Where it speaks, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essential of recovery. And for me, as it was said before, this part of willingness reflects in all the steps. Because in the promises, I have it written down as Abby's promises here, it speaks of establishing the new order through working steps 1 to 9. Am I willing to accept my powerless over food and food-related behaviors, about the unmanageability in my life that gives me, that disease is having upon me. Establishing in step 2 and 3 to say, am I willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? And am I willing to have that power give me direction one day at a time? Am I willing to look at my defects and flaws and the wrongdoings I did? In step 4, am I willing to hand it over in step 5 to another trustworthy person? Am I willing to look at my character defects in step 6? I was not, it was painful, but I knew from steps 1 to 5 that I needed that willingness in action to have the transformation in my life? Am I willing to address these character defects one day at a time, being committed to saying the seven-step prayer? I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. Am I willing to write down the list to the people I have harmed in my disease, being the tornado in their life? And am I willing to approach them one at a time to make my amends? Those were the establishing of the new order of things. And the maintenance comes with step 10, 11, and 12 for me. Am I willing, when I'm distressed, when I'm irritated, to pick up the phone, to call someone, to text someone, to pause, to get a pen and a piece of paper just to write it out of my brain, to let higher power come back into that moment for me? Am I willing to review every evening my day in step 11, to take an honest look at the resentment, remorse, fear, anger I had throughout the day, to have a good night's sleep? Am I willing in the morning to flop my butt on the floor? My apologies for the language, but this is the thing I do. It's the first thing I do in the morning. I may jump to the bathroom, but am I willing to plug into the chug? And that is my higher power. Am I willing to connect with my higher power? First things first in the morning, for guidance and direction throughout my day. Am I willing to repeat that throughout the day? If I want to have recovery, am I willing to reconnect? Because going on self-will, it's a downhill. It's a downhill. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not good by myself. My brain is a dangerous neighborhood and it takes me places. So am I willing to reconnect? And step 12, am I willing to give back what I received through this community here, A Design for Living, through OA, my sponsors, my wise women in my life today? Am I willing to do all these things for the transformation I have received? I came in suicidal and pretty depressed, and I was willing to put in the work. I haven't done it by myself, and I could never do it by myself. I had a team, I had community, I have friends in these rooms. And I don't say this word easily. A friend is not just somebody I see once a week and say, hey, they've been with me through good and bad. In that recovery program, I let go of a profession. I haven't found a job for almost a year. I was struggling financially. I was struggling again, mentally. I was told from outsiders, I don't qualify, I am not good enough. But those friends, they've been here in these rooms with me. They picked up the phone when I called them crying in the middle of my night. And they sat with me while I was sobbing on the phone. They supported me no matter what. They saw the ugly in me. They saw that I was off beam. They witnessed when I was in self-will and I been a tornado in their life, but they stayed. My life is now on another footing. I am not cured from the food obsession. I will always be an anorexic. I will always be an addict, and I need a daily program of action. And I can do it with those small actions of willingness. It's just one little one at a time. Through this program of recovery, I found therapy. I found medical help because I needed medical help as well. I found a new job. And I found, thank you so much. Thank you. I found a new job and I found a purpose in life. I found new direction, and I found direction in the way that I am now in the process of moving, not just cross country. The program of recovery enabled me to find my path moving across the globe, to find the courage to approach something new and discover what I really want to do with my life, to have a purpose and joy and happiness. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm just grateful for the meeting here today. And I think there were way more many notes on my pages, actually. But I think actually, yes, I will leave it there. And just maybe wrap it up with something that I also hear over and over and over again, because this is still something so true for me. It says in a way that the program of recovery is not for those who want it or need it, but it's for those who do it. Yeah, so I'm grateful for everybody here, and I will officially now wrap it up. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Steph. And thanks, Donnelly and Abigail, for sharing your experience and strength and hope today. Okay, the seventh tradition. According to our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. As we have now moved to virtual meetings, it is important that we continue to be fully self-supporting. This allows Overeaters Anonymous to continue to carry the message to those who still suffer. You are able to send your donations through our website at www.ad4l.info. For those of you able to see the Zoom chat, the link will also be posted there. Thank you for your support. It is appreciated. The next meeting, a reminder that A Design for Living Big Book OA is a daily meeting. We are based out of Melbourne, Australia. The recording from today's workshop will be available from our website, where you can also find out about our other upcoming events and speakers. Visit our website at www.adesignforliving.info. A new monthly speaker series focusing on the principles of the 12 steps will be held on July 12th. The topic is principle. It's probably not humility again. It's principle 7. We hope to see you there. Closing. In closing, I would like to thank you all for your service in coming here today. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You will find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings to learn the many ways OA can help you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honour each other's anonymity. What you hear here, whom you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together we get better. To close the meeting, I will ask Eva to please unmute and read the promises.
Painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.